our hearts be acceptable to you, O God. Amen. Today I want to talk about freedom. Freedom. Jesus said in John 8:32, "The truth shall make you free." And then again in verse 36, "The Son makes you free indeed." Now, this was kind of a byword in the Reformation, you know. We are saved by faith alone. Well, faith and freedom then today come together in our modern world, in that all of us have to make a conscious and deliberate decision to believe. We don't demand or compel anyone to believe in Jesus Christ, nor do we try to trick or intimidate anyone in any way. Some people will make the decision not to believe in Jesus, and they will reject Jesus. Well, as you observe the culture of our world this modern time, there seems to be one rule about freedom. Freedom of choice without limits. You know, don't tell me what I can't do. We think freedom is, well, it's nice. Freedom is nice because we can pursue good things, valuable things in our society, goals that we have. And so we are free. Now, you're free to go to college or not to go to college. Maybe you just get a job, go to the military. We're free to get married or not to get married. Yeah, that's good use of freedom there. But then there are those who want to pursue all freedom. They want to pursue immorality. Now, in the mental health world, freedom means this. Mentally ill vagrants who we might meet on the street and, you know, we do not restrain them or institutionalize them in any way, as long as they don't hurt themselves or hurt other people. So we all have this desire for absolute freedom. And then there is freedom within moral boundaries. Now, several examples here. If a man wants to look at pornography on his computer for hours at a time, well, some would say, well, he's not hurting anyone, so don't curtail his freedom. And others would reply, well, it does cause harm to the person, and then that person is shaped by that pornography. And they start valuing women only as objects for their pleasure. And you can think of other similar things. There are drugs, there are alcohol. Should we be free to do anything that we want? Well, if there is no God and no moral values, and we're put on this earth with just no purpose and no direction, no meaning to our life, then those persons want to pursue absolute freedom, freedom without any restraint. About 5 years ago, I remember reading that Lamar Odom, a retired NBA basketball player, well, he was retired, and he spent one weekend at a brothel in Las Vegas, and it cost him $75,000. I read this and just, what? I guess all in the name of pleasuring himself. And why not? Their purpose in life is to eat, drink, and be merry. And they say, I'm not hurting anyone. Leave me alone. We Christians have a different view of freedom. we know that God has given us our life and created us. And we know that our actions towards other people and the created world around us does have great meaning. Yeah, it's important what we do. So I don't go around creating my own purpose and meaning in life. It's Jesus Christ incarnate. It is the true man that he was who gives meaning and purpose to our life. Jesus gave us true freedom by dying on the cross. And that creates my freedom. It's God's gift to me then because of Christ to be free. But let's go a little deeper here. Let's talk first about freedom at the gut level. The gut level. I like potato chips, I'll admit it. I love potato chips. I can't buy them. In fact, I like the potato chips that are cooked in lard. That's the best kind. Oh yeah. I think I was over in Pennsylvania and they had big bags of potato chips cooked in lard, and I just went, oh. So I have a strong desire to eat potato chips. Am I free to eat potato chips? Sure I am. I'm very free, and I can exercise my freedom. But what would happen? Well, my life is likely to be curtailed in some way. So I kind of give up the lesser freedom of eating potato chips and go for the greater freedom of health and long life. Now, a second example. He isn't there, but Scott Barry is a fine musician, isn't he? And in order for Scott to become a fine pianist and fine organist, he had to give up something else. He had to give up his freedom to do other things, and he has to come here and practice hours, hours. Because when we give a gift to the Lord of music, we want it done well. And that's his choice. Yeah, freedom then for him is playing music, good music. And freedom then is really, in the general sense, is not an absence of restrictions, but freedom consists in finding the right liberating restrictions. Now a third example, a current example. Out in Seattle, well, the Chaz Zone, if you were following this, with the Summer of Love, well, it all ended last week. The cops took back that part of Seattle. And of course, three people had been murdered and multiple rapes had happened. So absolute freedom with no boundaries does not work. No love relationship can grow unless each person sacrifices some freedom in order to serve the other person. Yes. Those sacrifices then lead to liberation of the heart and mind that only love can bring. So when a modern person looks at us and says, well, you just got to accept me as I am. This is what I am. Well, that kind of freedom and relationship really does not exist. No, we all live in a world that puts demands and constraints on us. But the demands and constraints are for our good and our true freedom. Jesus talked about that kind of true freedom. Colossians 3:14. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds together everything in perfect harmony. So some would say, in marriage, we lose our freedom. I think we lose our independence in order to gain a new freedom. And therefore, if we give ourselves to God, who is our true love, we become more free than we can imagine. Yeah. We become free from fears, insecurity, and shame. We will be forgiven, and thus we can forgive others. We can love others, and we can face suffering in a way that we could not do before. John 8:36 again. The Son makes you free indeed. That's the S-O-N, Son. Yeah, the Son makes you free indeed. Jesus talked about there our ultimate bondage to sin and rebellion against God. It's not something outside of us who is controlling us. But no, it's our own self-centeredness, our turning in on ourself, as Martin Luther would say. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah said, I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. Those words mean that we allow someone to come into us and put their law within us and mold our hearts. Now, here is, of course, a fundamental contradiction in our world. People say, oh, no, you're not going to come from the outside and mold me and put anything into me. Absolutely not. I'm self-standing and self-actualized. I decide for myself, not some outside influence. But that to take that position is an utter illusion. All of us are affected by the things outside of us every day. So as Christians, we are baptized. We invite the Holy Spirit into us. We want God's presence in us. And we want the body and blood of Christ to fill us. Yes, the Holy Spirit came into us at our baptism and has written God's law on our hearts. Praise the Lord that it did happen in our baptism and continues to happen each week as we gather here for the Word of God, as we pray to Jesus our Savior. As I said in the beginning, today is a day to talk about freedom. Freedom from some things and freedom for to do things gladly and willingly. And because Jesus is our Lord and has paid our bill full and free, yeah, then we're free. We're free from a past, no matter how sinful our past was or even how wonderful our past was. We're free from regret. You know, why didn't I do this or that? Now, we're also free from fear. That nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. We're free from limitations. My past does not have to describe my future. And we're free from old hurts and mistakes. Yeah, all of us are wearing a backpack. You don't see it, but we have this invisible backpack. And in our invisible backpack are all the mistakes we've made, the old hurts, the stuff that's we're still carrying around. But in Christ, we're no longer burdened by them. They have no control over us. Let's say it again. The Son has made you free indeed. Jesus Christ in his death, resurrection, and his life has made you free. Praise the Lord. Amen.